Andrew, welcome to Lifeline. Good to have you here.
Hey, thank you, Neil. Great to be with you.
So you're in South Carolina somewhere right now.
Yeah. I've been in South Carolina approximately 9 minutes, Neil, and you're my first phone call.
All right. You just got off the plane. That's fabulous. Okay, so give me the 60-second answer. I want to continue with some phone calls here, but you know what we're talking about today, obviously. Hurricanes, natural disasters, earthquakes. Is this God's judgment? Is it his discipline, as it says in Hebrews 12:6? Are these just signs? What are we to make of what's going on in the world today, and what's the message for the church?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you can survey the entire New Testament, and the message we get is that God doesn't want any to perish, but all to believe. He wants, you know, everyone to come to repentance. And so if that's the truth, then why would he be snuffing them out with natural disasters and sort of causing everybody's life to end shorter, when in fact he wants them to hear the gospel, believe the gospel, be saved, be transformed by Christ living in them? So I don't know. I mean, over the years, preachers have done this. You know, when it happened with Katrina, it happened with 9/11, which we just had the anniversary of that tragedy. And, you know, now it's happening on a smaller scale. I think people have learned their lesson to not say this sort of stuff, that, you know, God is punishing the masses with natural disasters. I think we need to see the heart of God here. I mean, the wages of sin is death, but Jesus died, and that's the whole point. So we need to do the math and celebrate, recognize that when Jesus took the punishment, then God's intention is that there be no punishment left for us. So, you know, people can cite passages about discipline all day long, but any father who loves his child is not going to discipline them by killing them or by sending a tornado to hurl them away or by bringing a hurricane to flood them to death. I mean, that's not discipline. That's certainly a horrible tragedy that's heinous and evil, and it's because we live in a fallen world. So I don't know, Neil. I mean, these guys that are putting a God stamp on everything that happens, what are we going to put a God stamp on rape and murder and then natural disasters and say God is causing them? Not true. We live in a fallen world, and we need to recognize that.
Interesting take. All right. Antonio from Buffalo has been holding. I want to get you into the conversation. You had some thoughts to share. What do you want to bring into it, Antonio?
Yes, Neil. I just have a twofold belief about what's going on. And I looked at this with my wife, and we had six beautiful children. And being there during her pregnancy, when it comes close to the birth, you start having what you call Braxton Hicks contractions and then actual contractions. I don't say, oh, my goodness, God is judging my wife with these sort of pains that she's having. No, these pains are signaling that she's getting ready to give birth to a child. Same thing if you buy a car. After a while having that car, little things start going here, little things start going here, and then big things start breaking, until eventually the car breaks down and dies. I look at all of these signs as things telling us that time is approaching. We live in a fallen, broken world, and things like this happen in a fallen, broken world. It's not because God is angry with us. It's because the world is broken. People are broken. So you're going to see things like this as time is approaching for the return of the Lord. And so these things start escalating, not because God is angry. It's just simply because we live in a fallen, broken world, Neil.
Huge. All right, Andrew, your response to what Antonio said, I appreciate him presenting it that way. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, I think along similar lines to him. I mean, when I look at the book of Revelation, when I look at descriptions in the Gospels, when I look at prophecy about the return of Christ, I mean, it doesn't say God is creating earthquakes, God is causing hurricanes, God is hurling tornadoes at people. It just says that these sort of things may happen. You know, now the issue is, you know, is this that? Is what we're experiencing right now that? And I think that's where we got to be careful. We got to tread lightly. You know as well as I do, Neil, that over the last number of decades, how many preachers have said, you know, we're almost there. Christ is coming back. He's coming back next year, next week, tomorrow. I mean, you know, I've told you many times, you know, in 88, back in 1988, I was told Christ was coming back by my youth pastor. And, well, that youth pastor ended up with egg on his face. The next day, the prediction was all wrong. So we just got to be careful. You know, we can observe these natural disasters. We can recognize it's a fallen world. But as far as trying to put everything together, connect the dots, and then say, well, Christ is coming now, I think that's where we really got to hold off and remember nobody knows the day. Nobody knows the hour. It's going to come like a thief in the night. And let me tell you, having been robbed three times by a thief in our home, there's no way to predict that.
No way at all. All right, Antonio, appreciate the phone call. Let me get to, I guess it's Janet. Oops, we lost Janet from Brampton. So how about Mary Ann in Fort Erie? Hello, Mary Ann.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome to Lifeline. What's on your heart? Yeah.
I wanted to say that I do believe that these are the end times. My spirit is more awakened than ever before. But I have to take the Bible in a whole. I can't just take the New Testament. I got to take the Old Testament as well. And I look at it and I say, the Lord does judge. We are not to, but he does judge. But I look at it in a way that he allows things to happen so that we turn to him. And I believe in these times, as the person said before, we don't know the day or the hour, but God tells us always to be ready. So I believe in these times of whatever is happening. The Lord tells us to, you know, look at the fig leaves, and you can tell when, you know, the times are coming. And
sure.
So I believe this is all, we're closer, and they believe the apostles back in that time, too, that the Lord was coming soon.
I think you mean the prophets.
So I believe we need to be ready.
Those are some great comments,
right,
and
now.
I appreciate what you're saying. I want to particularly go back to one point, Andrew, and I'm not sure where you'd want to pick it up, but I wonder if you could comment on her thought. You know, we want to take the Bible in its fuller context, so let's not ignore the Old Testament. And we see the judgment of God poured out in a variety of different ways in the Old Testament. But having read the Naked Gospel, I'm sure you have something to say about how the Old fits in with the New and or complements the New Testament.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in the Old Testament, the Jews were God's chosen people. Today, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. In the Old Testament, you know, they were saying, please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. In the New Testament, he's saying, you know, I live in you and you're sealed forever until the day of redemption. So we've got an old covenant and we've got a new covenant. And we've got an old agenda and a new agenda. The old agenda was protect Israel, do whatever it takes to protect the line of Judah so that Christ can come through Israel. That's true in the Old Testament. So there was war and there was violence and there was all kinds of ways that God protected Israel against enemy armies. But today, when the Son of Man is lifted up, he wants to draw all men unto himself, not just Jews. So that's a game changer. The cross is a game changer. And quite frankly, when we're discussing hurricanes and then someone brings in the word judgment, let me just tell you, all evangelism shuts down at that point. If you're going to, in the midst of a natural disaster that has harmed and killed tons of people, if you're going to talk about God's judgment from the Old Testament or God's judgment period, then people are going to totally shut you down. They're not going to listen, and you've suddenly tied the death of their loved ones to God's judgment on the world, and then there's no way they're responding to the message of Jesus. So let's be clear that, you know, Jesus said, I didn't come to judge the world, but to save it, and I think we need to represent that accurately.
Okay, so then somebody might say, yeah, but God is a righteous judge, and he never changes. So how is it possible that he was pouring out judgment in the Old Testament, and now he's this nice guy who doesn't want to hurt anyone? He just wants everyone to come to him and experience his blessings. You mentioned the cross is a game changer, but But, you know, one day, what happens to those who refuse the offer of Jesus? They refuse the forgiveness that's available in Christ, and God
right.
loves them enough to allow them to refuse that. What happens in the end? Because Revelation talks about war again.
Right, right. Agreed. There's a day of judgment. We all know that. Revelation chapter 20 talks about a day of judgment, and 1 John tells us that we can have confidence in the day of judgment as believers. But, you know, there are warnings for people that reject the gospel, like in Hebrews. You know, today if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart and don't be an enemy of God who can expect a fiery judgment to come upon them. So there's no doubt that there is a day of judgment that's coming. But when we make that day today, and when we call that day hurricanes, and when we call that day tornadoes, we are misrepresenting the message of Jesus Christ. He wants to save today. Today is the day of salvation, not the day of judgment. When he came to save, not to judge. And when we represent that attitude accurately, what happens is people's hearts can warm toward the idea that God wants to rescue them, save them, deliver them. But if we also send a mixed message that, by the way, he's knocking off your relatives in natural disasters, well, that's a mixed message that nobody can understand. It makes no sense, and it's not biblical.
Terry, we'll get to your call in a second. Back to Hybrid 2 here, Zach, man, just so you know. And Andrew, since we were going to the break, I mentioned something I wanted to talk about, and now I forgot what it is. Help me out here. No, motivation, that's what it was.
So, yeah.
So somebody might say, well, how is anyone going to be motivated to even seek after God unless terrible things happen? How are we going to be, you know, don't we need to be fearfully warned of what happens if we don't choose to just walk in harmony with God and the truth of his word? So, I mean, it seems to fit. If that's your mentality, then maybe all of this makes sense, that this is something God is intimately involved in and or causing in our world. But can you speak to the question of motivation?
Yeah, I mean, it's like an abusive spouse that beats the heck out of you and then hugs you afterwards, and then beats the heck out of you again, and then hugs you afterwards. And you say, why do you keep beating me up? And the answer they give is, well, I just want you to appreciate my good side. And so I think the whole thing is sick and demented, quite honestly. I mean, I don't think God is causing death and sin and disaster and disease and then saying, but by the way, I'll comfort you from what I just caused. I mean, then we've got a two-faced God and a schizophrenic Christianity, and the whole thing doesn't make any sense. I think the Father's face gets really disfigured at that point, Neil. I think we have to go back to what's the real motivator. I mean, the whole law-based, punishment-based system in Romans 7, we find out it leads to sinning of every kind. It's not a motivator. It's not an inspiration. What we find, as you've quoted so many times, on this program, you've quoted from Titus, where we learn that the grace of God teaches us to say no to sin. That's the inspiration. It's the love of God that compels us. It's the love of God that casts out our fear and motivates good works and bearing fruit. So we love because he first loved us. The idea that somehow we would love because he first punished us makes no sense. It's backwards. It's counter-gospel. And it's not the truth, because the truth always, always sets us free.
Man, where do you come up with this stuff, bro? Every time I think that there's going to be a question that's too hard for you to answer, there you go again. By the way, we've got a bunch of calls to get to here, but you've got a show starting. When is it? October what?
October 2, we start every weeknight on WDCX at 8 p.m.
8 o'clock, live call-in show nationwide via satellite for many and via WDCX here in the Buffalo area for others. So it's kind of a combo thing, right, with SiriusXM and DCX.
Yes.
And, yeah, it's going to be phenomenal. So we want our listeners to participate with that. And October 2nd is the kickoff, weeknights with Andrew Farley and Andrew Farley Live here on WDCX. All right, Terry's been holding. Always faithful, Terry from Randolph. What's up? What about the disasters? What about all this?
No, I'm with Andrew. First of all, I'd just like to say I'm really grateful for Andrew and Pete Brown and guys like that who have pulled me up out of the hole of being this, like you say, a mean guy, and I got to behave, I got to do more, I got to try harder, all this nonsense. And I believe it really is Satan trying to get us to have that view of our loving Father. I got the book from Andrew. I called in his show, The Hurt and Healer. It was fabulous. It absolutely hit the nail on the head for a lot of things exactly that I do, like Christian karma. Oh, you know, it's going to get you now because you did this. And that's absolutely satanic. It's not biblical. But I see the people at the church I go to, and I love them, and I love my church. But it's like they feel good if they're doing it, and they like to have the feeling that they're making it by their effort. So they don't really love grace. If they could really see how bad they really are without God's grace, they would love grace. But they're kind of like, oh, you know, you're just looking for an excuse. So no, God's not punishing people in Florida because America did something wrong or whatever. Because if that were the case, when Hitler was taking over the world, that would have been the end of the world. He was the Antichrist. I mean, no.
Good point. Yeah, he would have destroyed Germany in some fashion. And somebody might say, well, yeah, but the Allies won the war. But the whole thing gets kind of twisted at that point. And, Andrew, I think your comment earlier was just so succinct, you know, that we love him because he first loved us, not because he first punished us. You know?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the Bible tells us this, that the kindness of the Lord leads us to repentance. So that's what we're fishing for right now in this conversation. And as people listen, I mean, we're trying to figure out what's going to lead to genuine repentance, what's going to lead to genuine good works. And we find the Bible gives us the answer. I mean, first we find out that apart from the law, sin is dead. So under grace, God's grace is enough. And then we find that the kindness of the Lord leads us to repentance. So it's not the punishment, it's not the cruelty, it's the kindness of the Lord. And I think, you know, we forget that because we have so much abuse going on, so many abusive relationships. It's a fallen world. We've never, ever experienced love like this.
Edgar from St. Catharines, you've been holding. Welcome to Lifeline, Edgar. What's up?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Whether you answer this or whether Andrew does, it's about Scripture, which every time I read the Bible, I come across those Scriptures where it says God is behind the snow, the rain, the winds, and whatever entails weather. And it's not that I'm trying to approach this from the standpoint that automatically means that it's a judgment thing. So perhaps, Andrew, you could kind of expand on that part about God being behind anything that constitutes weather.
Good.
Yeah,
good.
Great question.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a great one. Thanks for bringing that to the broadcast today. You know, Neil, my thoughts on that are that that's highlighting God as our creator. I mean, God is creator of all. He created the sun, the moon, the stars. He created the concept of wind. He created the concept of mountains and seas. And you get the idea. I mean, we learn about this in Genesis, but we also learn something else in Genesis, that we messed things up, that there was a choice we made to go rogue and to distort the creation and to warp what God made. And so with that being said, you know, I think we can understand the passages about God being creator and say, wow, God, you're incredible. Thank you for all that you've created. And then at the same time, we can go, whoa, Adam, you ruined it for all of us. And if you hadn't ruined it, then we would have. So we drew a ring around ourselves, calling ourselves Lord of this ring and saying, I'm going to run the show. I'm going to rule the earth. I'm going to do it my way. And in the fall, so much got messed up, warped, and distorted. You know, God is not the author of cancer. God is not the author of death and disease, but he is the author and perfecter of our faith. And I think when we make that distinction, we start to really buy into this truth that really does set us free.
Huge. All right. Hope that helps, Edgar. Appreciate your phone call.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I want to read a, I realize we're short on time, but I want to read a text message, sneak it in here. Barry said, I've heard pastors refer, this is from the toll-free text line. I've heard pastors refer to Luke 13, 1-5 in response to questions about oppression, suffering, disasters. Jesus' response to questions about persecution and major accidents and disasters in both cases was, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So it seems that God allows these things to remind us we aren't in control and that there's a bigger issue at stake. For the sake of argument here, let me read that passage quick. It says, Luke 13, 1-5, some were present at the same time reporting to him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices, and answering, Jesus said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were sinners above all men who lived in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So going back to Barry, he's trying to make a parallel here that, you know, maybe Jesus is using these things to tell us to repent. But your thoughts?
Well, Jesus gave us the answer to this question twice in the passage you read. His answer is, I tell you, no. And then again, his answer is, I tell you, no. In other words, they're asking, you know, did this tower fall on some people because they were worse sinners than the rest of us? And Jesus's answer is no, it was an accident. The tower fell. It's not because they were worse sinners. So then we come out with this concocted theology that somehow, you know, God is punishing Florida or punishing Houston or punishing Louisiana or New York because I guess somehow they're worse sinners than all of us are in the other states. And Jesus's answer would be the same today. I tell you no. I tell you no. And the warning that he gives at the end is not watch out or a tower will fall on you. He's talking about eternal damnation for those who reject him. So the whole thing just falls apart, that theology of Christian karma where God's going to get you with natural disasters. He's going to make a tower topple over on your head because you sin too much. I mean, that's not the theology presented here in Luke 13. Jesus rejects that twice. And the warning he's giving is about the importance of receiving him to avoid an eternal judgment.
Okay. And then an appropriate text message here to respond to, kind of in line with what you just said. A listener texting us saying, a loving God who has no wrath is no God. He's an idol of our own making. How would you respond to that?
I agree. I mean, who's saying anything about God not having wrath? What we are saying is that we're saved from the wrath of God through Jesus Christ, and that's what Romans 5 announces to us. We're not doing away with the wrath of God. If there were no wrath, there would be no reason for the cross. If there were no wrath, there wouldn't be no reason for a Savior. So, you know, the idea that we're doing away with the wrath of God is preposterous. We're not doing anything like that. We're just saying there is a day of wrath, there is a day of judgment, and it's not today. Today is the day of salvation. So let's be clear when we communicate with people and let them know, hey, friend, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us this message. He wants us to share this message with you, and here it is. Please, we beg you, be reconciled to God, receive Christ, respond to the cross, respond to the resurrection. Today is the day of salvation. And when we stop bringing in towers falling on their heads and tornadoes coming at the hand of God, the gospel will remain as clear as it needs to be, and the response will be much more likely a yes from those who hear us.
Well, that right there, ladies and gentlemen, is exactly why you need to join Andrew Farley live every weekday evening at 8 p.m. starting October 2nd right here on WDCX. AndrewFarley.org is a great place to go. His books are there. Do you still have access to some of the videos you've done all at AndrewFarley.org?
Yes. If you go to my homepage there at AndrewFarley.org, you can get encouraging videos free from me every week. And it's just a way to really help people see what Jesus has done for us in the fullness of all that it means for us. So check out my website, andrewfarley.org. It takes maybe 10 seconds to get those videos.
So well said. Appreciate your friendship, brother, and look forward to seeing you soon.
Hey, thanks, Neil. Enjoyed it.